Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is the first part of the epistle lesson, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 30. In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, what's your purpose in life? Why do you exist? Many people feel that life has little or no purpose at all for them. They feel like things just happen or they just, it's a roll of the dice. When you feel like you have no purpose, then you often feel no responsibility for anything. And the result is a feeling that I can do whatever I want to do. And people who feel that way often just let loose and party down. Drugs, alcohol, sex, getting whatever you want, taking it, it doesn't matter. It's all just a way of life. And everything simply comes and goes as it has before. And before long, they feel insignificance. And nothing is really important if you don't have a sense of purpose. As Christians, we realize that life does have a purpose. We believe that God created us in His divine image, that He has called us to follow Him, and that His desire is that we love Him and we serve one another. The trouble is that we live in a real world that often causes us to question God and His purpose for our lives. There are those big realities of life that you can't overlook. Death of a loved one, the loss of a job, the betrayal of a friend, and those things can rock our faith. And you add to that all those little irritations that we face, long lines at a store, a neighbor's dog digging up your flowers, the car breaking down when you don't have any money to fix it, the kids coming home from school sick, money running out before the next paycheck. The list is endless. And then we throw in a fight with our spouse or a boss who doesn't know any kind of boundaries or a bully at school. It seems like Murphy's Law is often at work. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And as things begin to pile up, we wonder if God even cares. And we wonder about a purpose for living. Sometimes human nature takes over and we think that God is trying to punish us with all of the bad things that happen in our lives. We spill something and we kind of roll our eyes and say, well, why me, Lord? But you know, it's not really a joke. Other times the doctor gives us some unexpected diagnosis and we roll our eyes and we say, why me, Lord? What did I do wrong? Why do I deserve this? And we think God's punishing us for it, for something. Or at other times, we try to explain things away by saying that God's not really in control of everything in the universe. He's got too many things to look after. He just wound up his clock, and now he's sitting back to see what happens. And then there's those times when we feel like God has completely forgotten us. We prayed and 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 nothing happened. We're still sick. We still don't have a job. We still have trouble with our spouse or our kids or our boyfriend or our girlfriend or whatever. And so we conclude that God doesn't really care about us. And those kinds of negative thoughts are not new. They go all the way back to the very beginning of time. And they're common for each and every one of us, even though we sometimes don't want to admit it. Evidently, the Christians in Rome were questioning God's love. And so Paul asks them in the epistle lesson today, what shall we say to all of these bad things in our life that he has just listed? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? If Jesus suffered and died in our place, he cares for us. And if he cares for us, then what do we do? What do we make of all these different troubles that we have in our lives? God gives us some answers today in our text. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." He didn't say, "We think," or "Would it be nice?" or "It'd be possible." No, he says, "We know. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." How do we know that? We know it because we are God's children. In the verses that come before our text, Paul said, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And it is through the eyes of faith that we know God's goodness. It's by the Holy Spirit, whom we received in baptism, that God tells us that he loves us and he cares for us. It's by faith that we know that God is not punishing us when bad things happen in our lives. We know that he's not too weak to help us. And we know that there are no accidents as far as God is concerned. We know that God will use whatever happens in our lives for our good. A pastor went to visit a shut-in member one day. The lady was troubled with all kinds of tragedies in her life. And when he arrived, she was embroidering a cover for a pillow. He asked if he could look at it. And he purposely turned it upside down. And he looked at the backside of this embroidered thing that she was working on. He said, "Why are you wasting your time on a mess like this?" "Oh, Pastor," she said, "you're looking at the wrong side. Turn it over." He turned it over and handed it back. And he said, "That's what you're doing when you worry about all of the troubles you have. You're looking at the wrong side of God working in your life. Down here on earth, we only see the tangled side of God's providence. He's looking at it from the beautiful, organized side." Paul said in our text that God works good for those who love him. Why would we love God? Well, John wrote, we love because he first loved us. Well, how did God love us? Earlier in his letter to the Romans, Paul said, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't after we got our lives all straightened out. It wasn't after we made ourselves presentable. No. It was while we were still sinners, while we were still dead in our sinful nature, while we were the enemies of God, while we were God haters. Even before we were born, God came to take our place under the law, to suffer and to die as our substitute. He did it because he loves us from all eternity. He did it so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could be adopted as his sons and daughters. John wrote, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." As we said last Sunday in the pastor's Bible class, that's God's sacrificial, agape love. And we know that God is good because God's love is so sacrificing for us. It is never ending. As Paul said at the end of our epistle lesson today, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Because God is good, and because God loves us, we believe that God has a purpose for our lives. Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Ephesus, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Paul affirms that we are indeed saved, not by our good works, but it's by grace alone. However, Paul also affirms that Jesus died so that we would do good works. He said, "For good works." We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And that's what Paul meant in our text when he said, they are called according to his purpose. God wants us to know him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to use all of the gifts that he has given to us to love and serve other people. In his book, Wild at Heart, John Eldridge quotes Gil Bailey, who wrote, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." God's purpose is for us to use whatever makes us feel alive to love him and to serve others. In our text, Paul spells out God's plan for his people. I like the way that it's worded in the New Living Translation of the Bible. Paul said, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory." When did God begin working in you? He knew you before he even created the universe. He knew your name. He knew when you were going to be born. He knew when you were going to die. He knew whether you were going to be a Christian or not. He knew what gifts you were going to be given. He knew it all. Paul said he chose them to become like his son. He called you and he put his name on you in holy baptism. And he gave you right standing with the Father. In church words, we say he made you righteous by taking away your sins and by giving you his goodness. And through the Holy Spirit, he now glorifies you with his glory. Glory here on this earth and glory for all eternity. Now, that doesn't mean that we are puppets on a string. God allows us to live our lives in this fallen world. And that means we will have trouble this side of heaven. God's will is not always done on earth as it is in heaven. He allows us to make choices, even bad choices, that lead to hardship. But the good news of our text is that God often takes those bad things in our lives and he uses them for good. In the book of Genesis, we see the brothers of Joseph sell him into slavery. It's a bad choice. And yet God was with Joseph, and Joseph rose to become the second in command of the land of Egypt. Only Pharaoh was higher. And when his brothers came to Egypt to find food in the great famine, Joseph reveals himself to them. And they are scared to death. And he calms their fears by saying, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." The same is true today. Sometimes God uses bad things in our lives so that he can mold us into his image, the image of Christ. He often uses adversity to strengthen us and to prepare us so that we can help others in their times of need. Suppose your young daughter was reaching out for the flame of a candle. What would you do? You could grab her arm and pull it away, to stop her. You could scold her and tell her, don't do that, don't touch it. You could blow out the flame in order to protect her. Or you could let her touch the flame and learn that it hurts. And you could put her finger under cold water to heal the burn. And you could use that experience to teach her about the dangers of fire. And it would be a lasting lesson. That's what God does with us. By allowing hardships in our lives, he teaches us that he is there to rescue us from this evil world and to comfort us with his everlasting love. As we trust in him, we are then glorified as his children. During the Great Depression, a man lost his job, exhausted all of his savings, and had to forfeit his house. And then on top of it, his wife suddenly died. And the only thing that he had left was his faith. And it was growing weaker day by day. One day he was searching the neighborhood for a job, and he came upon some workmen building a new church. And he saw a stonemason carefully crafting a triangular piece of stone. And he looked and he couldn't see any place for it. So he asked him, he said, where are you going to put that? And the stonecutter stopped and pointed to the very top of the building. And he said, see that little opening up there by the spire? That's where this piece goes. I'm shaping it down here so that it fits up there. The man walked away with tears in his eyes, for God had spoken to him through that stonecutter. His simple words, I'm shaping it down here that it will fit up there. My friends, that's what God's doing with us and all of the events of our lives. He's holding us in his loving hands, and he's shaping us into his image so that we can enjoy the glory of his eternal kingdom. As Paul said, we know that God causes everything to work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nancy, Christy, and Shirley. It was beautiful. Thank you. Please rise.